Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So it's really great to be with you this morning. I just want to welcome everybody and just thank you for being here this morning. And this morning, I want to just say thank you to all those that helped with the Real Mission event. Well, actually, it was actually our Fishing Connect group that put on the tournament. And it was a great success. We're very thankful for that, raising money for the House of Transfiguration, the Real Mission. So let's give them a big clap for that. Amen. It was a great, great event. And before we dive into the Word this morning, I was just between breaks having a quick look at the radar and having a look at the hurricane that's right now in the area of Louisiana, that area down there. It's a Category 4 hurricane. And I really feel we should lift them up. So let's all bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we pray for those in the track of that hurricane. Lord, we pray for protection. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will comfort them, give them wisdom, Father, on what to do and how to handle it. But Father, we speak to that storm and we ask in Jesus' name that it be silenced. Father, that it would have far less damage and effect on that specific area in the name of Jesus. It seems like year after year lately, Father, that area is being hit. And so we just pray for your hand to be upon them. Protect those people. Protect that area, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, this morning, we are going on in our series on living in abundance. And so if you are here for the first time this morning, I want to welcome you, first of all, good to have you with us. But I want to say to you that you need to go back and listen to part one and part two because it is a series and there's a lot of context to get to where we are this morning. So I'm going to kind of try and just do one or two quick recaps just purely because I feel it's really important for us to have a foundation of what the primary text was when it comes to this, which is out of John 10:10. Let's go there. John 10:10. We're going to start there this morning. How many of you here believe that God wants to bless you and not only bless you, but bless you abundantly? Amen. I'm so glad you all agree. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And we had a look over the last 2 weeks at that word specifically, the abundant life. And really what it means is it means for us to have a life where we have everything we need and overflowing. Where actually we have more than enough. So God wants to bless you, give you everything you need, and actually it overflows. Now there is a good reason for that overflow. Let me just say this, that our perfect example of what living in abundance looks like is looking at the life of Jesus. How many of you know Jesus never lacked anything? But Jesus never even had a place to rest his head that he could call his own. Are you with me? But when it came to lacking anything, he had nothing. But look at the way he ministered. When Jesus ministered, for example, to the 5,000, the Bible tells us that with 2 fish and 5 loaves, he was able to feed all of them. But the way God responds to someone who gave those two fish and five loaves is that right at the end of feeding all those people, 5,000 men, not including women and children, there was left over. You see, that's how God works. When he blesses in abundance. When we give, he gives back in a way that is far more than we could even imagine. It's very powerful. But the Bible tells us that there is an enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to stop you from inheriting the promises that God has for you. One of the things the enemy likes to do is he likes to steal from us in the area of revelation. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, you see, only when you have faith in an area, revelation, you believe that this is the truth, will you begin to inherit that promise. That's one of the key ingredients is faith, and we'll talk more about that as we go on this morning. But we have to actually have revelation. The enemy wants to do everything possible to stop you from walking or having that revelation. So he comes to steal from you God's word, the truth of God's word. He wants to steal that from you, because if he can get that right, the Bible tells us that he's an adversary. He goes around as an adversary, wanting to accuse you. The Bible tells us that word adversary actually means like a prosecuting attorney, wanting to steal everything good that God has for you. And what happens to so many Christians is that they look at a promise in the word. They don't see the promise in their life, and now they think that God's promises are not for us anymore. Well, that's not the truth at all. Many times we think that we need to help God with our with his promises. In other words, make it a little bit easier for him. Listen, God doesn't need you to make it easier for him. The only thing that he needs is he needs you to look at the conditions of the promise. You see, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, no matter how bad it is, if you meet the conditions of the promise, you will receive them. Because his promises are yes and amen now. You can't, listen, we can't say that only these apply to us and these don't. No, they all apply to us. Maybe we're not meeting all the conditions to receive those promises. And so we had a look at that and we saw that that's one of the things that we have to do. Let's take a look at, there are three things that we need to do in order for us to inherit the promises of God. The first thing is find the promise with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's say you believe that God wants to bless you abundantly. Go find the scriptures connected to abundance, connected to living that way by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and then begin to ask the Lord for it because it's your promise. In the process of doing that, point number two is look at the promise and look at the conditions. Because you'll find in Scripture that there are always conditions connected to the promise. For example, last week we spoke about how God wants us to have no lack, that we will lack no good thing. And we could see that included in that was walking uprightly. So there are certain things that we have to do. There are certain things in Scripture for us to walk out these promises. We need to adhere to the conditions of those promises. It's kind of like, you know, we have a tendency to think that it doesn't work that way in the kingdom, but it absolutely does. God is like a real person. How's that for revelation? He is real. In other words, he's not mocked. Don't think he's like a bargaining thing that you can just bargain with. It doesn't work that way. God is real, and he loves you, and he wants to protect you, and he wants to bless you, and he knows everything that could work against you, so he set things up in a way to ensure your success, to ensure your blessing, to ensure your prosperity, to ensure your abundance. And he says, but listen, I want to give all of this to you. I want to do this through you. I even have a reason for it that goes beyond you. Isn't that incredible? But there are some things that you need to do, or else my hands are tied. That's literally what it means. There are conditions. And even in this scripture where he says, he tells us that there's a thief, there's a liar, there's one who comes to kill and steal and destroy, that he's out there trying to stop you from inheriting this abundant life that God has for you. So we know that there are conditions that need to be met. The third thing is, once we see the conditions, it doesn't help that we agree and do nothing. I can agree it's bad to cheat on my wife and go cheat on her. Hello? But in order for me to agree, I have to walk it out. I have to go and be obedient to God's word and actually apply it to my life to show that I'm in agreement with his word. It might sound like a really silly example, but there's no difference in any other promise in Scripture. If there's a word that says that I'll bless you if you do this, guess what? Do this and you'll see the response from heaven. That's how it works. God's accounting is perfect. Hebrews 11 verse number 6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, it tells us that without faith, there's nothing. We can't please God in any way at all. So you can read the Bible, you can think you like the Bible, But if you have no faith, if you don't begin to move in the realm of faith, you can't please God in any way. Why? Because He can't do what He wants in your life. He can't use you to fulfill the purpose and plan for your life and His plan. He created you with a purpose. And it starts like this. Take a look at it. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe, firstly, that He is. That He is God. That He is good, that He is deliverer, that He is the one who provides for us, that He's the one. You have to believe that He is who He says He is. If you don't believe, you've already lost the battle. Because if you don't believe, it's impossible to please Him. Because He can't do anything in you and through you. Are you with me? And then I love this. He says, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder. The word rewarder there in the Greek means rewarder. And watch this. It even says one who pays wages. Now, this doesn't have to be financial. But basically, when we seek God in an area in our lives, He rewards us because that's how He is. He's a good Father. He loves us. And when we seek Him, He wants to reward us. He wants to bless us. He wants to fulfill the promises that He has made to us. When we seek Him. Isn't that awesome? So we need to believe that He is, and then we need to believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. If your mentality is that God doesn't want to bless you, doesn't want to reward you, doesn't want to give you anything, you've already lost the battle. Because the accuser will say, look, he doesn't even believe it. If he doesn't believe it, you can't give it to him. If you think the devil doesn't know Scripture, brother, he took Jesus on with Scripture. He was made a fool of, but that's not the point. You and I are not Jesus. So what must we do? We must seek the Scriptures for truth with all of our hearts, with all of our soul. Don't try and change Scripture to suit how you feel or what you think. We should do exactly what it says. My desire as a pastor is so intense to seek the Scriptures so I can feed you what will really bring you transformation, change, a blessing, walking in abundance. Listen, I believe with all my heart that God wants to bless you abundantly. In other words, He wants to give you even more than you need so that you can fulfill His purpose. You have to believe it as well, though. That's the problem. I wish I could believe it for all of you. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Romans 1:17 says it like this, and this is powerful. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. How's it revealed? From faith to faith. It is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is one scripture that uses the word faith three times. In Scripture, when you study Scripture, and you see a word in the text used once, twice, three, four, five times in a whole passage of Scripture, maybe you need to go and study it more intensely. Whenever something is overemphasized in Scripture, the Bible is trying to tell you something. If faith is used three times in one Scripture, God is telling us that the way that you and I have to live, the way that we are made righteous, is through our faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. Faith in His promises. In other words, everything that I do, I have to walk by faith in order for me to be blessed in that area. Is that okay, guys? The only basis for righteous living is faith. We have to walk that way. So we must realize that if we want to live in abundance, abundance includes finances. We have to use our faith in the area of finances. It's just a basic spiritual principle. If we have faith in the area of finances, if we seek Him, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, in our area of finances as well, we will see his reward. These are basic spiritual principles. Let's go and have a look a little bit more at what the Bible has to say about our finances and faith. Let's go to Luke 6, verse 38. Remember, God has promises. Connected to many of those promises are certain conditions. If we do the conditions, we will see the promise fulfilled. Please take note that I'm reading out of the New Testament. Is that okay? Give, Luke 6, verse 38, out of the New Living Translation. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back. Faith acts in obedience to God's word without waiting for anything in return. In other words, if you want to receive from God, you will have to give first. It's a basic, fundamental biblical principle. God's waiting to see, are you going to give him some seed? Are you going to act with faith? Are you going to step out and believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? You see, if we don't operate in this area, we have no faith in this area. And if we have no faith in this area, we can't expect to receive in this area. Promises have conditions. Let's go a little deeper. All right, Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is really, really powerful. This is really, really powerful because it shows us a principle, and this principle applies to living abundantly. You see, first he says this. He says it is more blessed to give than to receive. But how many of you in this room like to receive? Okay, I mean, I love to receive. I do. It's wonderful. Okay, but the Bible tells us that there is a greater blessing than receiving. And that greater blessing is being able to give. You can give when you have an overflow. You see, the Bible tells us that he wants to bless us abundantly. In other words, God wants to give you more than what you have so that you can actually also give in return. That's abundance. That's what abundance looks like. It's very exciting. Amen? Jesus said it is greater to give than to receive. Paul gives us another great example, and I'm reading now out of the CSB version, CSB, and I recommend if you're looking for another great word-for-word translation, this translation is awesome, okay? 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 6. The point is this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap generously. And this is my favorite part. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. How many of you know that God loves a cheerful giver? But the point, the scripture says, the point is this, that the way that we sow is the way that we reap. If a farmer goes out to sow seed, and he has a little bit of seed, he will sow that seed, and he will only reap a smaller harvest. Are you with me? But if he has a lot, and he sows a lot, he receives a greater harvest. Can we see that from Scripture? The way that we sow. Now remember, guys, this doesn't necessarily come back to, you know, this person can sow hundreds and thousands of dollars, this person can only sow a few dollars. God looks at the heart and he looks at what you have. Don't wait to receive a lot to begin to give. Give out of what you currently have. That's faith. Not saying, well, if I get so much, I'll sow so much. No, start with what you have. You see, it's very important that we understand something out of this text. He says that it's something that we have to do. God loves a cheerful giver. You must understand that you are not under the law. You are not obliged to give anything. But if you look at the principle, what does the principle say? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But the part that I love the most is the second part in verse number 7, where he says, each person should do as he has decided in his heart. In other words, giving to God should never be your afterthought. You see, many people will, for example, let's just give the example of a church service. Many people will come to church. The offering plate goes around. We don't do that at the moment because of COVID. We plan to start one of these days again. But when the offering plate goes around, the person's like, oh, you know, I better give something, you know. And they look in their pocket and they go through their notes and they find the $1 and they put it in. There's no purpose in that. You have given sparingly. You have not purposed in your heart. The Bible says that you must, as he has decided in his heart. In other words, you must have purpose to your giving. You see, when the sower goes out to sow seed, before he goes out, he has a plan. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He has an idea of the harvest that God will give him. This is now in the natural. So he pre-plans. He prepares the seed. He goes out into the field and he begins to plant that seed, having a faith that that seed will become an egg. Amen? Let's bless Pastor Mike, okay? Do you understand what I'm saying, though? There has to be a purpose. It can't just be God wants you to purpose in your heart when you give. God wants you to put him first in your life when you give. And that's when we begin to see the abundance of God begin to bless us in the most amazing ways. But he doesn't want you to do it grudgingly. He wants you to be a cheerful giver. Because if you do it grudgingly, you're going to miss out on the blessing anyway. Amen. So we are not forced. We are not under the law. But the principle is scriptural. God blesses when we give. Now remember, let's just come back to balance. When I spoke to you last week, I told you from scripture, we looked at the scripture that says that the Lord will not withhold any good thing from us. But in that, it spoke about righteous living. There were certain conditions. So don't think that this is the only condition. So you think that you can do what you want, live how you want. If you give, God's going to bless you. No, that's not right. If you're going to cheat people in your business, you must know that you are in trouble. God will never be mocked, guys. Are you telling me I have to do something else? Yes, follow his word. You know what I mean? Are you perfect? No, but it's a process. And remember, God always looks at our heart. Good or bad, he always looks at the heart. So we have to purpose in our hearts to start somewhere. To say, okay, God, I believe your word is true. I'm going to seek you in this area of my life because it has become revelation to me. I believe that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. You have said in your word that you desire to bless me and to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. If you were not here last week, go listen to part 2. I explain the difference between wealth and poverty and show you in scripture that God wants to bless you. Poverty is a curse. There is nothing good in poverty. If you're in it, God wants to take you out of it. That's part of what you are called to be. Amen. Amen. That's part of the abundant life. There is a balance to everything, and we do what Scripture tells us. Let's go a little deeper. Galatians 6:7 says this. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And this goes far beyond the area of finances. This goes for the way we treat people. This goes for the way we speak to people, the way we treat our loved ones. This goes for everything and every area in our lives, but don't think it excludes the area of finances. It includes it. One of the things the Bible teaches us about is it teaches us about honoring. And honoring God, how many of you believe, is the most important thing? I believe with all my heart to honor my parents. I believe to honor my wife. I believe I should honor my team, my staff. I believe I should honor the church. God above everything, though. I honor Him first. And there are many principles and promises to honoring as well. Take a look at what the scripture says about honor. Romans 13 verse 7 says this: pay your obligations to everyone. Taxes to those you owe taxes. Tolls to those you owe tolls. Respect to those you owe respect. And honor to those you owe honor. The Bible is very clear when it comes to honoring God. And it says this in Proverbs 3, verse number 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Listen, this is a difficult area for many of us. But the truth is, everything you have belongs to Him. So He tells us, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. God is interested in you. He's given you everything. And He says, listen, I want the first part. I want you to honor me first. That's what His word says. And take a look at what He says after He says this. He shows you a promise. He says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. There it is again. You see, when we honor God with what He gives us, He gives us back to overflowing. That's how abundance works. That's the promise for you and I. We can argue it. We can reason it. You can negotiate it. You can do whatever you like. That's the word of God. And that's what it says. And if that's what it says, and we want to see it work in our lives, we have to apply it. Listen, I went to God last week. Nothing to do with finances. And I went into my room and I was upset about something. And I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, I really feel like I'm doing it right, and I feel like I said the right thing, and I did the right thing, and da 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 da. And then I stopped myself. And I said, well, you know what? Maybe I'm not right. I said, Lord, I know that I'm wrong. And I said to Him, help me to change. You see, don't get so caught up in how you feel and what you think is yours when it says it all belongs to Him anyway. And so it's a principle. The principle of first, honoring Him first, giving to Him first, loving Him first is a principle in Scripture. Now watch, because we're going to go a little deeper. And it's all connected. You see, one thing about Scripture, we have a tendency to think that we can disconnect things. No, the Bible is so connected in every way. There's this new little app in my Logos Bible software that shows you every scripture in the New Testament where it is in the Old Testament. It will blow you away. There is almost no scripture not connected to the Old Testament. They are completely connected. The teachings in the New Testament echo and bring to life what was in the Old Testament. It is so powerful. The Bible is all connected. So He says in Leviticus 27, verse number 30, every tenth of the land's produce, grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So in other words, from this scripture and several other scriptures in the Old Testament now, we can see that the tenth was a basic principle. First fruits is a basic principle that is applied. And God says in more than one occasion, the tithe, the tenth, it's mine. It belongs to me. Now, whether you want to apply it or not is entirely up to you. You are not under the law. You can choose to do whatever you want to do. But you must also remember that you can do one of two things when it comes to honoring God with your finances. You either honor Him or you dishonor Him. It's a choice that we have to make. I am too scared to not tithe. And the reason why is because I have seen what happened when I started tithing. When I started giving a tenth, tithe means tenth. When I started giving the first portion to God, I couldn't believe what began to happen. I was in vacation just a little while ago, a little vacation that we took. We went up north and we were in an area that had no reception. And I knew I'd gotten paid. So I jumped in my car and drove to an area where I had reception so I could pay my tithe first. Because I want God to always have the first part of what I have. Why? Because I don't want to touch it. As far as I'm concerned, this is me, your pastor now, it belongs to Him. He said it's His. It belongs to Him. That's how I feel. This is not necessarily your conviction. You must choose. Amen. All right, let's go a little deeper. Listen, I'm not afraid to preach this to you guys. And the reason why I have to preach it is because I believe His promises. I believe He wants to bless you. I believe He wants to give you abundance. I believe that the curse and the lie of the enemy, that you should stay in poverty and in lack, is a lie from the enemy. But there are certain conditions in His word in order for us to walk in those promises. Okay, let me go back now. Okay. Malachi 3, verse number 8 says this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in which way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And I love this. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Test me at my promises. Test me at my word. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. What is that? That is abundance. That's what abundance looks like, where there is more than what you need. That's what abundance looks like. So He tells us that there. You see, the problem with many people in the church today is that they feel like the tithe was implemented in the law. Now, let's put it into full perspective. First of all, the tithe was established 1,500 years before Christ in the law. Okay, through Moses. Moses established the tithe in the law 1,500 years before Christ. 300 years before Jesus came, this warning was given to the children of Israel, where He said to them, He said, you're under a curse. He said, and the reason why is because you have been robbing me. So I have not been able to bless you. You have not obeyed me. You don't trust me. You don't put your faith in me. This is one area where you guys are in trouble. That's what happened to them. Okay, we don't have to say, we just say, oh my, okay? But I've got news for you. Because if you think that's where the tithe originates from, you are wrong. The tithe originates from Abraham. And Abraham chose to give a tithe very much in the beginning to Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a type of Christ, priest of God Most High. There's no other priest of God Most High that I know of than Jesus Christ. So He chose out of His own. Remember, giving must be done out of your own desire. So He chose to give a tenth, the Bible tells us. And in the book of Hebrews, there's an incredible comparison between the priesthood of Melchizedek and the priesthood of Levi. And we see that Levi, the priesthood of Levi, was a manly priesthood, which was not so great because they were men. But the priesthood of Christ, which is in the order of Melchizedek, is more powerful. And Abraham gave that way. He gave directly to God. Can you say amen? Isn't that beautiful? And then the Bible tells us in Hebrews 7, around verse number 8, that he receives, and the one who receives here is talking about Christ. And the receives is so important because it shows a people that give not out of obligation. Abraham did not give out of obligation. Abraham gave willingly out of a desire because he loved God. And then God established covenants with him that are so powerful. That's where the tithe came from. That's where the tithe originated. It went into the law so that the people could learn how to obey God, walk with God. And then at the end of the day, all of it just became far too much for them and they just couldn't do it. And the only solution was Jesus. But we give according to the order of Melchizedek. We give to our priest most high, and he receives it from those who are willing to give it to him. But let's examine it just a little bit more. But before we do that, I want to say one more thing. I want to remind you of something. Let's go back to our original text for the beginning of the series. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8 says this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he's their adversary, the accuser of the brethren, the one who stands like a prosecuting attorney, wanting desperately for you not to fulfill the purpose and plan that God has for you, wanting desperately to hold things against you so that you will not inherit the promises of God. The Bible tells us that he's a thief. In John 10:10, he's a thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God came, or Jesus came, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Let's go back to Malachi 3, verse number 10. Bring all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Why does God give you more than enough? Let's go to Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. God will give you and open the windows of heaven for you. Number one, so that you can be blessed. Number two, so that he can establish his covenant. You see, the only way the kingdom is expanded is if there's finances to expand it. And God needs the resources of his people. Well, you know, I'll give God my gifts. I'll give him my time. I'll give him everything. But when it comes to finances, no. You know, I think he knows that I, and as a pastor, can you imagine? I serve God with everything all the time. Why should I give him a tithe? Doesn't work that way. You see, God looks at the heart. But it goes further. So he says, Malachi 3, verse number 10. Let's read it one more time. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. But watch the next verse. And I will rebuke the devourer. Let's change that word to deceiver. Let's change that word to thief. Let's change that word to liar. Let's change that word to adversary. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Says the Lord of hosts. In other words, the Bible says that he came, Jesus, that you may have life and life more abundantly. But he wants you to be aware that there is an adversary, one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, to stop you from stepping into the fullness of what God has for you. But there are some promises and there are some things connected in Scripture where the Bible assures us that if we obey His word, if we choose in our hearts, to listen and to see and honor God at His word, that there are some things that He will do. One of the things that He will do is He will sort the enemy out. He will rebuke the devourer in that area in your life. Listen, you may get upset about it. Me personally, I want to do the happy dance because I recognize that in this situation, you see, the Bible tells us that we are in a spiritual war, that we battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. But in this situation, the Bible wants you and I to know that you can sit back. If you exercise your faith, if you are obedient in this area of your life, that there is a promise that says He will rebuke, He will sort out, He will take care of the enemy. And you can be assured that you can walk in that promise. Come on, I think you can give the Lord a little bit bigger clap than that. Come on, He's so good. He is faithful and true. Hallelujah. Take your seats for just a moment. I want you to understand that the reason why I'm sharing this with you is so that you can inherit an abundant life. Remember, never take one part and make it the whole. Don't think that you can give in your tithes and go home and beat your wife and live a certain way and think now you're going to be blessed. It doesn't work that way. The Bible is clear. God will not be mocked. His accounting is perfect. He's watching everything you do. What's important is the heart. He always looks at the heart. Well, how do I start, Pastor Alex? Start right where you are. But don't just do it flippantly. Do it with purpose. God, you know where I am, and this is how I'm going to start to honor you, and this is how I plan to do it. What's important is what's in you. Don't negotiate with God like He doesn't know what you're thinking. Well, you know, God, I really can't do that. I don't really have much, but meanwhile, under your mattress. You know what I mean? Like, God doesn't know what's under your mattress. Let's not talk about how that money got under the mattress, if that's okay. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you've got money under the mattress right now. When my Italian grandfather passed away, he really didn't have much money. He had a little Italian pizzeria, a little Italian restaurant. And he told us just before, he actually told my dad's brother, just before he passed away, he said, listen, when I die, I want you to know that there's money in the floor of the restaurant. After he died, we tore that restaurant up, guys, and there was no money to be found. That's how man is really funny. But God's promises are yes and amen. But they do come with conditions. And anybody that tries to persuade you any differently, they are not helping you. They are enabling you for destruction. I want to tell you the truth this morning. I want to tell you the truth. I want to empower you to fulfill the promises of God and the purposes He has for you. Man, I don't know about you, but this gets me excited. It gets me excited.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.